Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Business performance.
You're listening to the man who's been called the Obi-Wan Kenobi of small business.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. And I'm very excited about our good friend Rich Galen being back on the show. Rich is the publisher and the chief writer over at the CyberColumnMullings.com, thrice weekly CyberColumnMullings.com, and he's a political operative of the Republican persuasion. That means he spins to the right. He's our good friend Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, buddy. I wonder why you have Obi-Wan Kenobi with the Darth Vader music behind it.
It's just to see if anybody's paying attention. And obviously, and only the nerds know this, by the way. So you self-indicted yourself, Rich.
I know, I'm a nerd and proud of it.
I believe it. And apparently I am too. Hey Rich, I have to say that when I hear... And I just have to say this. How much do you think President Obama's behavior with regard to the Constitution is unprecedented? You know, we hear him say things like, if I can't get this through Congress, I'm literally going to go around Congress. And he says that out loud. Now, I guess other presidents have done that, but I've never heard anyone go to the public and say, I'm going to go around Congress as much as he has. So my question is Obama's behavior with regard to Congress more egregious, or is it unprecedented, or is it about like all the other guys?
It's about like all the other guys. I mean, just in our lifetimes, Jim, going all the way back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, the blockade, the U.S. naval blockade of Soviet ships, a naval blockade is an act of war in and of itself.
Right.
But what
John F. Kennedy.
That was Kennedy. Mm-hmm. The war, and I'm not an expert on this, I'm going to tell you 110% of what I know. The War Powers Act, I think that was 1973, as I understand it, gives the president the right to conduct military operations, but he doesn't need the Congress's permission to start those, but he has to inform them within 48 hours that they've happened. So you can go back to H.W. Bush and Panama. You can go back to Reagan and Grenada. Mm-hmm. You can do Clinton and both Sudan and Afghanistan. And this.
How about the Balkans? How about the Balkans? Did he get? Was that?
That's right. But he did. He informed the Congress after the fact, and the Congress gave him permission.
Okay, so that's the military thing. And in the next segment, I want to talk about that more, because we're going to talk about Syria in that segment. But let's go back to another thing. What about the things like declaring carbon dioxide, having EPA declare carbon dioxide a dangerous gas without any kind of approval by Congress? The Dream Act, changing the Immigration Act while it's being debated in Congress. How about changing the law of Obamacare a couple of three times? How about that?
Those are stretching the boundaries of presidential prerogative.
Is that precedented or unprecedented?
Because presidents have. What happens is, there's two things about laws as they're passed by Congress. First of all, they're so complicated that nobody can understand them, because a lot of what is in the law
when we pass them, we get to read them then after that, right?
Yeah, that's right. if you want to. I could guarantee you, of the 535 members of Congress, there's probably two that have read it, and they're not married.
Right.
Because they got nothing else to do. But even within the law, all of these laws give the executive branch. Remember, we have the three branches, mm-hmm. the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary. It gives the executive branch the broad powers to interpret and enact rules and regulations to put the law into
force.
All presidents use that. I mean, the most egregious probably example of executive power is Abraham Lincoln when he suspended habeas corpus.
Yep, back in the 1860s.
You can get away
with
that today.
But, yep, exactly.
So, I mean, this goes on,
but now those
goes
were,
all the way back.
Those were dire situations in those days. But I guess what I'm getting at is it just the most egregious to me is the part about taking Obamacare and extending it the requirements for businesses a year. I mean, that's not in the law. How can he just change the law by fiat?
I don't know the answer to that. I just don't know.
I mean, isn't that an egregious violation of the Constitution?
I also don't understand how the Justice Department can determine what laws it will enforce and what laws it won't enforce.
Right, that's a good point.
Which
that's
ones
good.
It will and which ones it doesn't.
There you go.
I mean,
you're making my list. You're making my list longer.
Yeah, part of the presidential oath is that I will enforce all laws or whatever the actual verbiage.
Exactly.
Is.
Hey, Rich, I gotta take a quick break, folks. We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about Syria and we're gonna talk about the red line. Who? There is a red line out there, folks, and there's some question about who set that red line. And what does Congress have to say about all this? After these,
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.